the Son shall set you free, you will be free indeed. Beloved, the Holy Spirit represented by the Golden Menorah is the Spirit of truth. On the past several broadcasts, I've been talking about the golden lampstand. You'll see on my set here, the lampstand. Seven different branches hammered out, beloved, from one pure piece of gold. It's so beautiful to me that this menorah was not made from different pieces of gold that were then attached together, but it was one lump that was molded to form seven different branches, and it symbolizes the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one Spirit, but He manifests Himself in different ways. This is revealed in the book of Revelation chapter 1, where the Lord greets us there and He says, from Him who is, from Him who was, and from He who is to come. Now get this, and from, He said, the seven spirits that are before His throne. When He speaks about seven spirits, beloved, He's speaking about the Holy Spirit. Seven is the number of biblical perfection and completeness. And so we see the seven spirits of God reflected from the golden menorah, the golden lampstand with seven different flames coming from it. I'm going to read now from the book of Exodus, chapter number 25, verse number 31 and 40, where we find a little bit of the revelation that the Lord gave to Moses about this lampstand. Hear the word of God. Exodus 25, beginning now in verse number 31. Hear the word of God. Then you shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand and its base and its shaft are to be made of hammered work. Its cups, its bulbs, its flowers shall be, here we go, one piece with it. And in verse 40, and see that you make them after the pattern for them which was shown to you on the mountain. This is going to be my last message, perhaps, on the lampstand. I know we've been here for several weeks, but beloved, this is about the Holy Spirit. And it's so important because the Holy Spirit has been given unto us, beloved, that we might freely know the things of God. And so when we study the pattern of the tabernacle, of course, we talked about, first of all, walking into the tabernacle, the one gate, the one door, who is Messiah, Yeshua. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to God but by me. So we enter into the relationship with God by going in through the one gate or the one door, who's Messiah, Yeshua. There is no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. We must enter in through Him. And so we enter into this relationship with God through Messiah, Yeshua, symbolized from the one door, the one entrance into the tabernacle. And then once we enter in, there's the altar where the worshiper would bring an unblemished animal. The priest would bind that animal on the altar. The worshiper then would lay his hands on the head of the animal and press his weight into the animal. He would press onto the animal's head with his hands, symbolizing that he was transferring his sin into the animal. And then the priest would put him to death, smear its blood around the altar, symbolizing, beloved, that the worshiper's sin, that the Israelite's sin, was transferred into the animal. Then that animal was put to death in that Israelite's place. And the blood was smeared around the altar because the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. The principle there is that the innocent one, that innocent animal, it was an unblemished animal, died in the place of the guilty one. The worshiper's sin was transferred into the animal. The soul that sins, it shall die. So the animal was put to death in the Israelites' place, and then its blood was smeared around the altar because the symbol of the life given is the shed blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood, Leviticus 17, 11. And this is, of course, symbolizing Yeshua, who took our sin in His own body, even as that worshiper pressed his weight into the animal. So Yeshua absorbed our sin. He took our sin in Himself, the innocent one, dying in the place of the guilty. Then He died on the cross. They thrust the spear in His side. The blood came out. Atonement was complete. Jesus, beloved, took away our sin. God doesn't judge us because our sin was translated into Jesus and He died in our place. And then from there we looked at the brass laver where we see that it was made in the book of Exodus from the mirrors of the women that ministered outside the doorway of the tabernacle. Why did the Lord specifically say that this brass laver was made from the mirrors? because he was teaching us a principle there that when the priest came and washed themselves every day at the brass laver made from the mirrors of the women that ministered at the doorway of the tent of meeting, and they looked over that brass laver with the water in it under that hot desert sun, they saw a reflection of themselves. And the Spirit of God was prophetically teaching us here, beloved. Because remember, the Scripture tells us that this tabernacle was not just for the ancient Israelites, but it was also, beloved, for us upon whom the end of the ages has come. In fact, the book of Hebrews talks much about this tabernacle and how it's a prophetic pattern for worship today. The point is, beloved, is the mirror represents the reflection of ourself. When you look at a mirror, not to look at somebody else, it's not like a spy mirror where you turn it this way to see somebody in this direction. People look in mirrors to see straight on, they see themselves. And what the Lord is saying here is when you allow me to show you yourself, when you allow me to allow the mirror of the Holy Spirit to be held up to your face so that I show you an accurate reflection of who you are, and then rather than blaming somebody else for your sin and making excuses for your sin, but you allow me to show you who you are and you agree with me and you say, yes, Father, I see that. I see that I acted out of pride. I see that I acted out of insecurity. I see that I acted out of fear. When you agree with the Holy Spirit, when he shows you the mirror of who you are, then the Bible says God is faithful to cleanse us from sin and to bring us into righteousness and light. And so these priests, beloved, before they actually went in to the holy place in the tabernacle, their sin, first of all, had to be forgiven at the altar, and then they had to be cleansed of it experientially at the brass laver. And so it is with us today. We need to have our sins atoned for, but then we need to be cleansed of them by agreeing with the Holy Spirit concerning who we are, and in so doing, he cleanses us and brings us now into relationship with the Lord through obedience. You see, we talk today a lot about having a relationship with God, but let me say, beloved, that a relationship with God comes to pass through obedience. As we're obedient to the Lord, beloved, we're brought into relationship with Him. It's more than just saying a sinner's prayer. It's important, obviously, to ask the Lord for forgiveness and to come into our life, but that's just the entry. To actually have a relationship, beloved, we need to come under obedience. That's why John 14, 21 and 23 says, if we love him, we'll keep his word. And then Jesus says, and I'll come to you. I'll reveal the love of the Father to you, and I'll make my home with you. So now, beloved, that we've entered in through the one door, who's Yeshua, we've had our sins atoned for, we've been washed and cleansed, now we enter into the holy place. And again, the first piece of furniture we see there is, hallelujah, the golden menorah. Now, the golden menorah, once again, it's light and it's spirit. And I want to talk today about how it is that we actually are brought into relationship with God. Many hear the word, beloved, they hear it with their ears. But many people that hear the word, even though they might mentally understand it, and even though they might mentally agree with it, they still, beloved, are not brought into a saving relationship. And the reason is, you can't just receive the word, beloved, through understanding with your mind. The word has to be, listen, imparted to you as revelation by the Spirit. This is what Yeshua was talking about, indeed, beloved ones, in the Gospel of John, chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 41. Hear the word of God as I turn now to the Gospel of John, and I'm going there to chapter number 6. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God abides forever. Listen to what Yeshua said here. The Jews, and he's speaking about the religious leaders here. Some have used this type of terminology and they've made it anti-Semitic. Beloved, Jesus was a Jew. His disciples at first were all Jews. The apostles were all Jews. And so when Scripture says the Jews therefore were grumbling, this isn't to create anti-Semitism. He's speaking here about the religious leaders. Here again. The Jews therefore were grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. And they were saying, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down out of heaven? So they're saying, who is this guy? Who does this guy think he is? We know his mom and dad. We know his father, Joseph. How is he telling us that he came down from heaven? And they were grumbling about him. Remember, Yeshua said, a prophet's not without honor, except in his own town. Continuing in verse number 43, Yeshua answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. In other words, he's saying, don't think that you're grumbling against me like you're over me, judging me. He's putting them in their place. He's saying, I've come down from heaven. Do not grumble among yourselves. Verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. This speaks to us, beloved, about the sovereignty of God. The call goes out to the world, but Jesus said, no one comes unless the Father draws him. Is it not written, Yeshua said, is it written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God? Now here we go, listen. We're talking about the golden menorah. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about revelation. Listen to what Yeshua says. Everyone in verse 45, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So think about what's happening once again. Yeshua is revealing himself to the world. I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never die. I am the resurrection and the life. He's revealing himself, beloved, as the Savior of the world. He's revealing himself as Messiah. He's revealing himself as God. And most people are not believing in him. Yeshua said, don't grumble among yourself. No one comes to me unless the Father draws him. And then he goes on to say in verse 45, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. What does this mean? Everyone that receives revelation, everyone that receives the divine light, beloved, of the Holy Spirit, symbolized by the menorah and the tabernacle, will respond to that revelation and come to God. This is why Yeshua said to Peter, who do they say that I am? And Peter said, well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah. And Yeshua said to Kepha, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Yeshua said to Peter, blessed art thou, Simon, son of John. Now get this, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Remember what Yeshua just got done saying here in John 6. Everyone that has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So all these different people have all these perceptions about who Yeshua is. But Peter says, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Yeshua responds back to him and says, blessed art thou, Simon, son of John. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And then Yeshua went on to say, and upon this rock. What rock? The rock, beloved, that everyone that the Father reveals himself to, everyone that the Father reveals Yeshua to, will come to him. So Yeshua says, and upon this rock I will build my church. So it's so important to recognize how dependent we are upon the Ruach HaKodesh, upon, beloved, waiting on the Spirit of God for revelation. You can only know, beloved, the truth of God's word in the inner man through revelation. You know, you might think you know it because you know it with your head, but you don't really get it, beloved, until it's revealed deep into your spirit, man. I remember years ago, I was walking out of a church one night and we were ministering. It was a winter night and it was really cold outside, and I brought my dance team there. And as we were leaving this church, one of the dance team members, they fell outside on the ice cold pavement and they hurt themselves, and they were in their car groaning. And I said, Lord, why did this happen? I mean, you could have prevented this woman from falling on that frigid parking lot. Why did you do that? You know what? You could have prevented it. And Lord, I said, if you didn't keep her from falling, how can I trust you? I mean, how do I know if you'll keep me from falling? And the problem was that so many places I was looking, I saw people that were professing the name of Jesus and they seemed to be falling. I mean, not necessarily in a parking lot, but failing in life, falling in life. And they weren't manifesting the victory that the New Testament says God's people should have. Yeshua said, you know, I want you to be like lights on a hill, that people will see you and they'll look up and give glory to the Father in heaven. I want people to be able to see the excellency of my Spirit, of my Father reigning through your life. But I looked around at so many people, beloved, that were professing believers, and there didn't seem to be victory in their life. And when I saw this woman fall in the parking lot, I said, God, I just don't get it. Why are so many people that are claiming you failing? And I just waited on God. I was very sad. I said, Lord, unless you give me the answer to this, I'm not going to be able to continue to move on with you the way I need to. And several days later, beloved, I was driving in my vehicle. I was coming out of an appointment and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And listen to what he said. Now, when I say the words, they'll just roll off your back, possibly like water off a duck's back. Because the point that I'm saying is it's not just hearing the word, it's got to come by revelation of the Spirit. I'm driving out of a parking lot, beloved, several days later, just sad because I'm waiting for the answer from God. Lord, I can't go on with you until I understand why it is that so many people that are claiming you don't seem to be manifesting the realities that the New Testament teaches should be manifested in our life. And so all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit speaks to me, says, the reason you're seeing my people falling and failing is because they're not trusting me. But listen, when the Holy Spirit said to me, they're not trusting me, it wasn't just like I heard it with my ears. It wasn't just like I heard T-R-U-S-T-I-N-G. But listen, it came, beloved, listen now, with a deep revelation in my spirit. The Spirit of God ministered, He imparted to my inner man understanding of what He meant. And what He was saying to me was, because it came again with revelation, was they're not, listen now, clinging to me. In other words, the trusting was a clinging. They're not clinging to me to be their source of life. They're just running ahead of me, relying on their own flesh. And that set me free because I knew that I'd heard from God. If somebody would have just come and said to me, well, they're not trusting, it wouldn't have affected me at all. But when the Spirit spoke it to me, beloved, it set me free. And so Yeshua says, all that have heard and learned and been taught of the Spirit, come to me. And upon this rock, He said, I will build, hallelujah, my church. We need to become more dependent in our lives, indeed, beloved ones, on the Ruach HaKodesh, on the Holy Spirit. We need to get back to the mystical element of the faith and just spend time sitting before the Lord, waiting on God, knowing, as Paul said, that the mystery of the gospel is Messiah in us. The Scripture says, know ye not that you are the temples of the Holy Spirit, and that the Spirit of Messiah lives in you, that the Spirit that raised Him from the dead lives in you. We need to understand that we have a life force within us, that we've been made partakers of the divine nature, and we need to learn, beloved, to stop relying on people, stop relying on books, and start relying on the Father, on Messiah, and on the Ruach, hallelujah, HaKodesh. And it's so easy to be deceived in life. And the only way that we're going to be able to think clearly, beloved, is through the light that the Holy Spirit gives us. How many times are there relationship issues that develop in people's life? I'm talking about conflicts that develop between two people because we're perceiving each other wrongly. The enemy's getting in and he's making us feel insulted by the way somebody looked at us or the way somebody talked to us, and we interpret it one way when in reality what was going on was something that was completely different. We thought maybe they were like snubbing us, but in reality what was going on is they were just afraid. So all these different things can happen in relationships, and all these wrong perceptions of life can develop. And it happens, beloved, when our minds are not illuminated, listen now, by the Holy Spirit. David said in Psalm number 36, verse 9, he said, in thy light, in the light of the Holy Spirit, remember, the light of the menorah, in thy light, he said, we have light. In other words, if we want to really see, if we want to understand, we need to be illuminated by the Holy Spirit. And I'm trying to call the church, beloved, back to her roots, and that is relying upon the Lord. If you think about it, those first disciples of Yeshua in John 14, they didn't even have the whole New Testament like we have today. Sure, there was a portion of the Torah and portions of the Old Testament that were in some of the synagogues, but in terms of having full Bibles that everyone carried around like we do today, they didn't have that. The disciples of Yeshua didn't have that, beloved, in New Testament times when the Scriptures were written. But what they did have was the Holy Spirit. Yeshua said, it's good for you that I go away, for I'm going to send you forth the promise, the comforter, the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, and He will teach you and He will guide you and He will lead you into all truth. But you know what? If we're going to be able to receive the blessing that the Holy Spirit has for us, we're going to need to learn how to honor Him more. Depend on Him more and stop depending, beloved, on the counsel of the world and even a lot of the counsel that's within Christendom today, beloved. It's not really godly counsel. It's counsel that's based really on the world's counsel so oftentimes. So I want to encourage you today to begin to honor the Ruach HaKodesh, which is the Hebrew name for the Holy Spirit. Ruach is spirit, ha is the Kadesh, holy. I want to encourage you to begin to honor more the Ruach HaKodesh. Give Him more time in your life. Give Him more place in your life. Begin to sit before Him every day and just honor Him and just say, Holy Spirit of God, I bless you. Thank you, Yeshua, for sending to me your Holy Spirit. I submit myself to you today, Lord Jesus. Teach me by your Spirit today. Train me, Yeshua, in your ways today. Help me to stop running to the phone and calling up all my friends all the time, looking for advice and looking to share all my problems with them constantly. Help me instead, Lord, just to learn how to wait on you and to look to your Spirit to instruct me, to teach me, to strengthen me, to gird me, and guide me through life. It's only as we stop depending on man, beloved, and start depending on God and relying on His Spirit that we're going to be victors, not by might nor by power, but my Spirit, saith the Lord. You see, when Israel relied on God, and when they relied on His Spirit, they were victorious in war. But when they began to look at their enemies and instead of relying on the Lord, they said, you know what? These enemies are powerful, so therefore let's make allegiances with other armies outside of the nation of Israel. And that way, if we make these allegiances with other armies, we'll have enough manpower to be able to defeat our enemies. It was when they did that, beloved, that they started losing the battle. And you and I today, many of us are being defeated in life because we're making allegiances with the world. We're relying on the world, beloved, to have victory, and it's going to do for us the same thing it did to Israel. It's going to bring them into defeat. God wants us to get back, beloved, to the simplicity of the gospel, and that is relying on the Lord, beloved, relying on His Spirit to lead us and teach us, beloved, and train us in all truth. You see, Yeshua said, if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth. Listen to this now, and the truth shall set you free. I believe that we can really be free. I believe that when Yeshua said, you shall know the truth, and the truth, listen now, shall set you free, He really meant it. And He said, if the Son shall set you free, you will be free indeed. Beloved, the Holy Spirit represented by the Golden Menorah is the Spirit of truth. And when you and I learn to honor Him, and give Him preeminence in our life. Give Him the time that He needs, beloved, to instruct us. When we submit to Him, allow Him to lead us, follow Him and obey Him, He will, beloved, set you and I free in Yeshua HaMashiach's name.
Thank you for watching today. I hope that you were built up in your spirit through today's teaching. Some of you may not be aware of some of the other things Discovering the Jewish Jesus is doing. We've traveled to many parts in the earth preaching the gospel. We've literally hosted events in Africa. People walk miles and miles, hours and hours from their villages to come and hear a Jew proclaim the gospel of King Jesus. We're reaching people that have no access oftentimes to television and the internet, and they're hearing the gospel proclaimed to them in a way that they understand, and many of them are turning their life over to the Lord. We've seen people's lives changed by the thousands. I want to ask you today, if you believe in what we're doing, you believe in the message that you're hearing, you have a sense in your spirit that Rabbi Schneider is a true servant of God, I want to ask you to financially support my ministry. We need your help. We can't do it without you, beloved one. Even the making of this video, it costs money in terms of the cameras, the staff, all the different things that we do. And so together, we make a difference. The people of God go together. You may not be able to go to some of the places that I go, but through supporting me, beloved, you'll have your portion and your reward because lives will be being changed because of your participation with us. The scriptures tell us when people are servants of the truth, we should support such men as these. So I want to thank you today once again as I ask you for your financial help. I believe, beloved, your help will make all the difference. I love you. This is Rabbi Schneider saying, God bless you and shalom.